This morning I ask you to turn with me to the book of Revelation, the last book of the Bible, to the last chapter of the Bible. Revelation chapter 22. I want to read verses 1 through 5. Revelation chapter 22, verses 1 through 5. And the subject that I have on my heart this morning is the Crystal River. The Crystal River. And what it means to us right now. I know every time that we think about the book of Revelation, our mind goes to heaven. And that's okay. It's okay. Heaven is going to be a wonderful place. But don't miss the blessings that God has for us, the heavenly blessings that God has for us right here, right now, as we think about these things. And to me, this particular scene, sometimes it's often put as though it's in heaven. And though it is a heavenly place, it's something that you and I can enjoy right now as we go through life. And that is the refreshing, the renewing, the reviving that is ours through Jesus Christ our Lord. Sometimes we don't have a visual picture of what it is to be revived. And yet I feel in these five verses, it shows us what revival is all about. And it's something that you and I can experience. And I pray that we experience it today. Revelation chapter 22, verses 1 through 5. This is John, not John the Baptist, but John the Beloved, the Apostle of Jesus, as he's seeing this beautiful vision that God has given to him. He says, "And he, God, showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal." Do you have a vision in your mind right now? Of a flowing river, one that's going by, one that, can you hear the water running? Can you look at it and see that it is crystal clear? Growing up in the Smoky Mountains, that was one thing that I love to be able to do is to go. And there's just something even to this day about hearing running water as it goes in down a little creek or a river. There's something about it. So it's easy for me to visualize this river, this crystal clear river, as flowing, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Would you join your hearts with me in prayer, please? Heavenly Father, we bow before you this morning, and we thank you for your word. We thank you for the living word, Christ Jesus our Lord. We thank you for the written word, for the power of the Holy Spirit as we read your word, as we meditate upon your word, that he gives to us an understanding, an enlightenment. He bids us to come into the presence of our Redeemer, of our Lord, and there to find refreshing and renewing in our hearts and our minds. We confess to you that we live in a time that is dry. A time when there's so much strife and turmoil. Forgive us, Lord, that our focus, our vision has been turned away from you to the things of this world. Help us, Lord, that we might refocus, that we might come back, that we might sit on the edge of the river. And there we can view your glory, your grace, your mercy, and your love. I pray for preaching grace today, Lord, that I might be able to present the things as you have spoken in my heart this week, that I might present them in such a way that it will be beneficial, that it will draw us into your presence, that we'll experience Jesus in our hearts. In Christ's name we pray. And amen. Again, and I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on this, but oftentimes we look at this, that this vision, at this portion of it especially, and our hearts turn toward heaven. And that's okay. We sang the song a while ago, there, earth has no sorrows that heaven cannot heal, cannot cure. We understand that. But I want us to understand something this morning, that God has blessings for us right now that are found in these verses that we can experience today as we look at these verses and come to an understanding as to what it is that the Lord is showing us that proceeds from heaven into our hearts and into our lives as this pure river of water of life. It's understood that the book of Revelation is a book of examples. It's a book of illustration. It's a book that has many things that we can visualize, that we can think upon, and it shows us things that we really can't begin to comprehend in its fullness, and yet we can see a portion of it. As he's showing us this river of water of life, I understand it to be something that we experience in a spiritual manner. I understand it to be something that we can experience as we approach the throne of grace, as we come to a point where that we pour out our hearts before the Lord. Let me just give you a little bit of background before I really want to talk about the river, but just a little bit of a background concerning that. First of all, He showed me. God showed. So anything that we see that is of a spiritual nature that is beneficial to us in our spiritual walk, it comes from the Lord. The Lord shows. If He doesn't show it, then my mind can't comprehend it. He showed me this river of water life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. This river, this refreshing, this renewing, this reviving comes from God. As we're approaching the time of our annual meeting, and I know we call it an annual meeting, but I'm going to tell you, I'm expecting a revival. I believe that as we pray, we should be praying for a revival. And I understand that's not a term that is often used among us, but I'm ready to start using some terms that fit. I want revival. I'm expecting a revival. I'm expecting God to speak to us through His servant as He comes to preach. But I want a revival every time we come together also. I don't want it to be a one-time event. I don't want it to be once a year that we have a revival. I need reviving every day. And certainly every Sunday as I come back into God's house, I need a time of revival, a time of renewal. So this river of water of life, as I think about it, and I go back to my boyhood days, and yes, I would go and I would lay on my stomach and I would drink out of the rivers that come out of the mountains, and there was nothing like that water. Amen. There was nothing that began to compare to that. This water is wonderful, but it doesn't compare to that God provides coming out of the pureness of the mountains, out of the pureness of the top of the hills. And often I wonder, where does He come from the top of the mountain? But God springs it up and then it runs down into the valleys to the place where that we need it. So as He talked about this river of water of life, it got my attention immediately. Because not only did I lay on my belly and drink from it, before long, if Mom and Daddy wasn't watching, I was wading in it. And suddenly, somehow, mysteriously, my feet would slip, and next thing I knew, I'd be in it up to my head. Isn't that the way we should be with God's grace? Isn't that the way we should apply ourselves when God gives His grace to us? I admit, when God first began to show Himself to me and reveal Himself to me, there was a part of me that was standoffish. And it was like I would want to lay down and not get real close to it, but just close enough that I could see what it was all about. But then the more that I got, the more taste that I got, the more that I realized that the next thing I want to do was just be in over my head in God's grace and God's mercy and His love. Because He shows us those things that are good for us. So this river water of life, it's clear as crystal. I'm getting so thirsty right now that I can't stand it. But I won't drink in front of you yet. But it proceeds from the throne of God. It's God's gift to us. Salvation is God's gift to us, isn't it? It's not something we earn. It's not something we deserve. It's not something that we merit. It's not something that we make ourselves good enough to receive. It's God's gift to us. And so is this river of water of life that renews, refreshes, revives us. My mind suddenly went back to Wednesday night, and somebody was talking about somebody pounding the Bible, and I think I just did it. But there's something about this river. There's something about the renewing that God gives to us. And it comes from the throne of God and of the Lamb. Who's the Lamb? It's Jesus, right? Jesus is the Lamb of God. Jesus is the one that is the source of every spiritual blessing that you and I receive. It comes from God, purely and simply by His grace. In the midst of the street of it, and this week I've read that phrase over and over and over and over and over again. I've looked at what John Gill had to say about it. I looked about what other people had to say about it, and I couldn't get any clarity in my mind whatsoever as to what he was saying about the midst of the street of the river. And on either side of the river, there was the tree of life. I understand the tree of life. The tree of life is Jesus. The tree of life was in the Garden of Eden. And if you remember, when God gave command to Adam and Eve, He did not forbid them to eat of the tree of life. He forbade them to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But once they ate of that, once they fell and God cast them out, God would not allow them to come back in and then eat of the tree of life. Aren't you grateful for that? I am. If you haven't really stopped to think about that, and I want to be as delicate as I can be about this, but I, in my mind I'm thinking about when my sister was laying, dying of cancer. And I remember going in and seeing her laying like that. And if God had allowed them to go back and eat of the tree of life after they had fallen, my sister would still be laying in the hospital some 38 years later, like she was that day. But because God did not allow them to eat of the tree of life after they sinned, death has come. And death is something that, though we, from this side, we don't understand it. And I didn't want to get off on this, but I want us to understand this part of it. That when God allowed the fact of Christ coming as the tree of life afterward, He's given to us something that now there is hope, there's an assurance, there's an understanding that there's something far better for us that is ahead of us. But in the midst of the street of this river of water of life, and on either side of the river, there's the tree of life. In the midst of it. And I after I read the commentaries and still didn't have anything, I went to my concordance and I began to look at the original Greek meaning of the word, the midst of the street of it. And it says that it means in the way that it flows, in the direction that it flows. In the way of the flow of this river is Jesus Christ. Wherever that you are, on whichever side of God's mercy and grace, and you're looking at it, you can only see Jesus. He is the one. He is our focus. He's everything to us. In the midst, on either side of it, when you look at this river of water of life that's crystal clear, that refreshes, renews, and I'm using those phrases a lot, that revives us, you see Jesus. Wherever that we're at in life, and we cry out for mercy, we cry out for grace, we cry out for God to help us, and that river is flowing and is clear and is pure. Though we partake of the refreshing of it, the ultimate partaking is of Jesus Christ. For you see, we really haven't partaken of mercy if we haven't seen Jesus. We haven't partaken of grace if we haven't seen Jesus. And when I say partake of, I'm talking about actively experiencing. I'm not talking about that this is only given to the children of God. It's not given to the world. It's only given to the children of God. So when I'm talking about experiencing and partaking, it's talking about you and me. You don't have to answer this question for me, but When was the last time that you really partook of Christ? I'm not even talking about communion service now. When was the last time that you actively partook of the presence of Jesus Christ? That you really just stopped and you began to just glory in His presence. To glory, to know that God loves you in spite of everything. To know that the love of Christ is unchanging. To know without a shadow of a doubt that the love that He has for you is something that is cleansing, it's purifying, it's refreshing, it's renewing. When was the last time that you actually partook of Christ? When was the last time that you really rejoiced in your heart? Is it an everyday? I hope it's an everyday experience. But I got to be honest with you, there are days for me that's dry. But that's when the river really has meaning for me. That's when the partaking of the refreshing that comes from the throne of God has so much deeper meaning for me. But He says, when you see this, when you understand this, in the way that the river flows, in the midst of it, wherever that you are, however far away that you've gone away from the throne of God, whether you're in that pit or whether that you're on the edge of it or whether that you're just kind of wandering around, wherever that river is flowing towards you and you look at the river, you see Jesus. And when you see Jesus as He is, partaking of Him, verse 3 says, there shall be no more curse. I'm asking a lot of questions today because I just really want every one of us to stop and think about this. Do we realize that in our natural state, before Christ came and made His abode in our hearts, do we realize that we were accursed from God? I'm going to be very blunt. I don't mean to offend you, but you were cursed. I was cursed. How do I know? Because I was sin. And sin is contrary to God. And that which is contrary to God is a curse. But notice what He says here. When we partake of that river, when we see the tree of life, when we partake of that which yields her fruit every month, 12 months out of the year, the tree, the leaves are for the healing. The tree is that which is the visual effect of what God's mercy and grace does for us. It's God's reminder to us on a daily basis of His love and what His love does for you. Let me give you just a real quick example of this. I tried to go over and meet our neighbors right across the street, and I haven't been able to get to meet them yet. But in the mornings, I'm sitting there drinking my coffee, and he's an elderly gentleman. And he comes out every morning to get his paper. And he has his cane. And as I began to try to watch it over and over and over. I saw it this morning. First of all, I looked and I didn't see the gentleman. But I saw this gray and white cat. And this gray and white cat that I'd seen in the community throughout, as far as I know, doesn't belong to anyone. It's just a wandering around. But I saw this cat this morning up on the gentleman's porch. And it's like he's looking and he's waiting. And then I look again, the cat's gone. Then I look in a little while and I see the gentleman walking back toward his house with his paper in hand. And he's making his way around, and he always goes to the right and back around. And I used to wonder, I thought, well, maybe it's because he has trouble with the steps. But I figured out what it is. As he's walking his way, I look, and here comes the cat, bounding after the man. And he knows where the man's going. And he knows what, I haven't seen it, but within reason, I know what he's going to get when the man has the food stashed on the back porch. I don't have any doubt about it. And so, here comes the cat, galloping after the gentleman, which you don't have to gallop that fast, but he's galloping because he's so happy to see this man who's going to give him some time. Is that how you see God? I hope so. I hope that that's how we see our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that we just want to gallop after Him, to be so close to Him, to know that something is going to come our way as a result of being in the presence of Jesus Christ. To me, when I see that man and his care for the cat, and I don't know that he ever even stops to talk to the cat until he gets out of sight. But when I see that, I say, that's how it is with me and God. That's how it is when I gallop after God, when I'm so hungry that I don't know which way to turn. But there He is. And I see in the street, in the middle of the river, I see my Lord and my Savior Jesus Christ. And there is joy in the Lord. And I'm joyful today. I'm going to be honest with you, I couldn't wait to get here this morning concerning this river, this crystal clear river of life. Because let's admit it, have you ever lived in a time that's been more dry than what we, and I'm not talking about the weather now, that's been more dry than we are right now? Have you ever in your lifetime experienced a time when it seems that there was a greater need for the presence of the river of water of life than there is at this moment in our individual lives, in everything around us, that we need the refreshing and the renewing? But I'm going to tell you, when you see that, you see, when I see that cat, before when I would see him off in the neighborhood, I would see him as a stray. But I don't see him as a stray anymore. I see him belonging to the gentleman. There's no more curse on that cat because he has a place to go. There's no more curse on you because you have a place to go. And his name is Jesus. Don't get confused about that. Don't think that the vessel is what takes away the curse. It's Christ that takes away the curse. Galatians chapter 3. Let me just turn and read it real quick. Galatians 3:13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. There is no more curse. You are no longer cursed from God. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. How did He do that? Being made a curse for us. I said it so many times, I don't know how God did it. But He reached back to Adam, He reached ahead to the very last one that shall be conceived that is His, and He took our sins from us, and He placed them in His Son Jesus, and Jesus took them to the cross, and His blood washed them away. The curse has been removed. There is no more curse. There shall be no more curse. But the throne of God, you don't have to go crawling to God. He says, come boldly to my throne, and there you'll find mercy and grace to help in time of need. Is it a little trickle that comes from His throne, or is it a pure river, crystal clear of life? It flows in abundance. What made me start thinking about this, and it happened during the pulpit time last Sunday morning when I talked about Moses striking the rock and the water coming out of the rock. I began to think immediately of this river of water of life, clear as crystal. But I thought about that water that flowed from the rock after Moses struck it. And I do believe that it was not a little stream. I don't think it was a trickle. It was enough water that come out of that rock that fed millions of people, that watered millions of people and their livestock. That wasn't a trickle. But then I began to think about that rock. Remember the next time God told Moses, speak to the rock, which tells us of the two things concerning Christ. One is He was struck when He was nailed to the cross, but He's not nailed to the cross anymore. Amen. We don't strike Him when we go to Him. We speak to Him. Don't put Him back on the cross. He's not there. Amen. But Paul had something to say about that rock. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 4 says, that spiritual rock followed them. Do you believe that this morning? Do you believe that rock followed them through the wilderness? I do. God's Word said it. I'm not going to dispute it. That spiritual rock followed them. And then he said, he was very specific in that. He says, and that rock was Christ. You mean Jesus was with them when they went through the wilderness? Yes, He was. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so if He was with them when they went through their dry wilderness, guess where He is when you go through your dry wilderness?
Right there.
Right there. He's right with you. Don't ever, ever forget that. When you think the world has forsaken you, I assure you that there is very near to you that river of water of life that's flowing clear as crystal that you can either lay on your belly and drink from, or you can dive right in the middle of it. And I choose to dive into it because I need God's grace. That spiritual rock that followed them. I'd never noticed that before. One of my boyhood memories, God help us as a nation to get back to this, but every morning, my third grade teacher read us a story out of the Bible.
Amen.
And as she would read, the one that I remember was she was reading about the people of Israel going through the wilderness, and she would read about the manna, and you know I could taste that manna. I could taste it as she would read about it. But I never thought about the rock following them all the way through. I don't know that there was anything different about that rock that would have set it apart other than it gave them water, which is a pretty big difference, isn't it? But apparently it wasn't one that they would constantly look around and say, that rock is right there. Otherwise, they would never murmured and complained again about water because they would have known it was right there with them. Why is it that sometimes we get so caught up that we want the sensational? Why is it sometimes that we get so caught up that we think if it's not sensational, it's not giving me what I need? The rock was there all the time. When they got dry, guess where they got the water? When they got hungry, where was the food? It was there 6 days of the week. The two men that were on the road to Emmaus, the third man started walking with them. I wonder if they would have recognized him if he had come down and just glowing all around. I don't think so, because their eyes were down. Their eyes were holding to the ground. We trusted. Where is he? Well, where was he? He was there the whole time. He was walking with them. When we come to that point that we want to pat ourselves on the back and pity ourselves and say, where are you, Lord? Look around. He might be in a gray and white cat walking across the road, the yard. He might be in the red buds that are coming out now. He might be in one little flower that's coming up through the snow. He might be in a sunset or a sunrise. And I'm telling you, He has so many ways to show Himself to you, to give you that refreshing, that renewing, that reviving that only comes from Christ Jesus. But sometimes our eyes are so holden that we expect it to happen one way when the whole time the water is flowing right past us. Have you ever experienced that? Have you ever wondered, where are you, Lord? If you haven't, God bless you. I'll say it again. If you haven't, before this day's over, get on your knees and thank Him for it. But if you have, you know what I'm talking about. You've experienced it. You know that feeling of being alone. But yet the whole time Christ is there. How do I know it? Because He promised it. And God is not a man that He can lie. God does not lie. What did He say to the Samaritan woman? If thou hadst known, you would have asked of me water, and I would have given you living water. Oh, but sir, you don't have a bucket. He don't need a bucket. He's got a crystal river that flows, that washes away. Where's your vessel? I don't see any vessel that catches my eye. You don't have to see the vessel. Drink the water. Because it's the water that's going to sustain when the floods of this life come upon us. Spectacular won't get you through. But knowing that Jesus is with you, there should be no more curse. But the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it. And His servants shall serve Him, and they shall see His face. It wouldn't matter to me if you had a blue curtain over here and never saw my face, if you could just see the face of Jesus. His face is the only one that matters. That you look into the eyes of the Lord to know that He's there. Jesus said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. What does all this have to do with our text for today? First of all, it tells me I don't have to wait till I get to heaven to drink of that water. It's a spiritual river, and I can drink of it spiritually by faith right now. I'm not relying upon any kind of vessel except a vessel that has holes in it, which sometimes our souls have holes in them because of all the things of this world that we don't want to let go of. But I'm not relying upon a certain vessel. I'm relying upon Jesus Christ. And then the third thing is the water's in me. I'm not the water. I'm not the source of it. But He said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me. But then He also said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. I'm thankful for that. Trying to bring this down to a conclusion. Because there's one more verse in 22 that I want to get to. I'm just going to touch on it today. But that river of water of life, to me it represents God's grace that's constantly, constantly flowing. It's the grace of redemption. And we're not redeemed by water, but it's the grace of redemption whereby that we are reminded that we have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Water won't wash away our sins eternally. It's the answer of a good conscience toward God, but it won't wash away our sins eternally. The blood of Jesus did that. This river reminds us that Christ died for our sins. It's the grace of forgiveness. God doesn't hold our sins against us. He doesn't hold them over our head and say, and then keep bringing them back up to us. It's the grace of fellowship. He has an open door policy. He stands with His arms wide open. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It's the grace of joy and peace and hope. It's a grace of abundance. Paul said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. His grace is sufficient. Another time when Paul said, would you remove the thorn? Jesus said, my grace is sufficient for thee. It's a grace that's constant. I've already referred to it. Jesus Christ the same, yesterday, today, forever. So He says, let us therefore come boldly. You don't have to wonder if the water's turned on or not. It's on. It's flowing. And it's always crystal clear. That's the beauty of it. When it refreshes me and takes away my doubt and my anxiety and my uncertainties and the things that I'm struggling with, it washes it away. When I get back into it again, it's crystal clear. Revelation 22:17. Without being real negative about it, there has been a theology that has been adapted around a misquotation of this verse of Scripture. I want to read it. I want you to pay attention to what it says, not to, then I'll say what it does not say. Revelation 22:17. And the Spirit, capital S, that's the Spirit of God. And the bride, who is the bride of Christ? It's the church. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Come to what? To this river of water of life to drink. Let him that heareth say, come. That's you and me. As we are in contact with other people, we are to invite them. Come and partake. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, I'm going to tell you what it doesn't say first. It does not say, whosoever will, let him come. It doesn't say that. Whosoever will, let him drink of the water of life freely. It does not say, whosoever will, let him come. You see, there is a progress of events that has taken place in that one verse. First of all, the Spirit says, come. If the Spirit speaks to an individual, what happens to that individual? He has life. She has life. It's not to a dead person. It's not to one who is alienated from God. It is a child of God that is speaking to. The Spirit says, come. The church says, come. He that hears says, come. Let him that is athirst, come. And whosoever will, let him drink. Let him take the water of life freely. Let him take the water. Are you thirsty this morning? Does the society that we live in, does it leave you thirsty? Instead of murmuring and complaining about it, which we see on the news media every day, on both sides of the issue, we see murmuring and complaining, then let's go and drink from the river. Instead of drinking of the putrid stuff that we're hearing, let us drink from the river of water of life. Let us take the Word of life, and let us take the Word of God, and let us partake of that. And experience the grace that is given to us. I'm going to tell you something. Before anything that I've said today means anything to any of us, I have to see myself, and you have to see yourself for what you are. If you don't see yourself as thirsty, the river won't mean a thing to you. It won't. You'll think you're getting along okay by yourself. But let me tell you something, you're not. You don't get along okay by yourself. You can't get through on your own. We don't have to. I must realize my thirst. When you're thirsty, and you take a big old gulp of Coke, it has that burn going down your throat. Does it leave you really satisfying? Does it take away the thirst? I'll tell you what it does for me. It makes me more thirsty. It leaves a residue. Sometimes I wonder if that's not the way it was intended to be, so that I can go buy some more Coke. Let me tell you something that you can drink satisfies completely. There's nothing that takes the place of a good old glass of water. And now I'm going to drink. Thank you that that's not Coca-Cola. Coke is not the real thing. Water is. Water is the only thing that will satisfy thirst. But if I don't see myself as thirsty, I'm not going to drink water. I'm ashamed to say that for years I may have had a glass of water a week. I was trying to satisfy it with Coca-Cola and Kool-Aid or anything else I could get on that has some taste to it. Compared to the way that Satan pretties up the world, and I promise you I'm trying to bring this to a close, but compared to the way that Satan pretties up the world, God's grace may not look all that appealing to you. I mean, really, to the natural flesh, you won't. It won't hold any meaning to you whatsoever. But once we realize that the world just, excuse my language, just ain't getting it, that's when we want something that will satisfy. And the things of this world, they'll leave you wanting more, but will never satisfy. The grace of God will leave you wanting more, but it satisfies every time. Are you thirsty? Are you thirsty? Are you really thirsty? I'm not talking about a mouth thirst now. I'm talking about a soul thirst. Are you thirsty? There's something that just doesn't seem to be making a connection inside. Can I tell you that the vessel won't satisfy, but the water will. Drink the water. The water will sustain you when everything else is going against you.